Welcome to Torah Simecha with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Rivka Foxbetter, and today we will be learning Yeshayahu chapter 61, Perek Samach Aleph. In this chapter, we continue the prophecy of redemption from the last. Ruach Hashem Elokim Alai, the Spirit of Hashem is upon me. Ya'an Mashach Hashem Osi, because Hashem has anointed me. This, of course, is only a metaphor, as prophets do not actually get anointed. Only kings and high priests do. But the idea is the same. That Yeshayahu was chosen for a specific and holy purpose. And what is that? Levaser anavim shalachani. Hashem has sent me as a herald to the humble. Lachavosh lenishbarei lev, to bind the brokenhearted. Likrol lishvuyim dror, to proclaim release to the captives. Vela asurim pekach koach, and release to the imprisoned. Malbim, as is standard in his commentary, explains what seems to be repetition. Levaser anavim shelachani, he has sent me as a herald to the humble, achavosh l'nishbar lev, to bind the brokenhearted. He says that the good tidings are all that is needed for the humble, because they accept the suffering as their due and the will of Hashem. But the brokenhearted are those that are broken from exile and have complaints. Hashem will need to comfort them for the suffering that they have endured, in addition to bringing them the good tidings of the future. And what will he tell them? Likro shnas ratzon laHashem, to proclaim a year of Hashem's favor, v'yom nakam leElokeinu, and a day of vengeance by our God, lenachem kol avilim, to comfort all who mourn. The year of favor refers to the positive events that occur over the course of the time of redemption. And the Day of Vengeance refers to the tumultuous wars and destruction that occur before the redemption comes to its conclusion. Whether the year and the day are literal or figurative, it is clear that the favor lasts significantly longer than the destruction and anger. And thus we conclude the pasuk, the verse, Lenachem kol avelim. Both the fact that there will be comfort for the righteous and vengeance for the wicked, and the fact that the comfort will far outweigh the vengeance, will be a comfort to all who mourn. Lasum la'avilei Tzion, to provide for the mourners of Zion, la'seis lahem pe'er tachas efer, to give them glory instead of ashes that are customarily worn by a mourner on his forehead, shemen sason tachas evel, the festive ointment instead of mourning. Any ointment is forbidden to a mourner. Ma'atei sihila tachas ruach keha, they will be clothed in praise instead of a dark spirit. V'koralahem elei hatzedek, they will be called elms of righteousness, mata Hashem lehispa'er, planted by Hashem for his glory. Everyone will look to the Jewish people and see them as righteous, despite the fact that they will be sovereign. Like a tree, good deeds and righteousness will shoot forth from them. This is a fulfillment of why Hashem created them. Mata Hashem lehispa'er, he planted us for his glory, so that we should behave in such a way that people will look at us and say, praised is Hashem who created these people and commanded them to behave in such a fashion. Uvanu charvos olam, and they will build the ancient ruins. Shomemos rishonim mikomemu, they will raise up the desolations from before. V'chidshu arei chorev, and they will renew the ruined cities. Shomemos dor vador, the desolation of many ages. Malbim explains this verse metaphorically. Yes, it is true, the ruins of the land of Israel will be rebuilt. But in this verse, the ruins that we will rebuild ourselves will be the values and the truth of Torah that have been lost over time. Through teaching and example, these will be renewed in the world, and those false values that have multiplied over the centuries will be fixed. In the verse it says, V'chidshu arei chorev, and the ruined cities will be renewed. The commentaries point out, V'chidshu means they will be made as if they are new again. The values and the principles of the world will change to the point that the false values that we hold now will be unrecognizable. And because the nations of the world will realize that the truth is in Torah and in the Jewish people, then, like we saw in the last chapter, Va'amdu zarim vera'u tzonchem, strangers will stand and pasture your flocks, uvnei nechar ikarechem vechormechem, and strangers will be your plowmen and vine trimmers. Like we saw in the last chapter, the nations of the world will take care of your material needs. They will see this as an opportunity to participate in the service of Hashem. In the last chapter, this was a feature of the redemption and reward of the Jewish people. Here Yeshayahu explains why. Va'atem kohanei Hashem tikareu. You will be called priests of Hashem. Mishar se'elokinu ye'amer lachem. Servers of God will be said to you. In the future, we will all be called priests and servers of God. What is the significance of this? During the tabernacle and temple periods, a priest was exempt of all human effort that is usually required to provide for oneself. The rest of the nation was required to provide a portion of their own livelihoods in order to provide for the priests materially. This was in order that the priests be completely available for godly service and the spiritual preparation that it required. They were also the teachers of the nation, which required time and effort and was fitting due to their intense spiritual devotion. This will be our status in the times of Mashiach. We will be completely dedicated to godly service and teaching the world about him. And the other nations will take care of our physical needs. Like the verse continues, Chel goyim tochelu, you will eat the wealth of nations, uvichvodam tisyamaru, and become great in their honor. The honor once afforded them will become yours. You will be Hashem's emissaries, and the nations of the world will gladly provide your material needs. Tachas bashtecha mishneh, because your shame was double, uchlima yaronu chalkam, and the disgrace that they would bemoan as their portion, lachein baratza mishneh yirashu, therefore they will inherit a double portion in their land, simchas olam tiyelahem, they will have eternal happiness. This recalls a concept that we saw at the beginning of chapter 40, that the comfort brought to us at the end of days will be double. At the beginning of chapter 40, we brought three different explanations as to what this means. In the Milstein Art Scroll, there is a beautiful explanation as to what double refers to. The Talmud explains that every person is created with a portion in the world to come, like we saw at the end of the last chapter, and because Hashem created everything with an equal and opposite potential, a place in Gehinnom, in the place of spiritual pain and desolation as well. Those who will maintain their righteousness will inherit both their portions and those of the wicked who lost their portions. Is this arbitrary? The Beis HaLevi explains that they deserve it, because the wicked make it that much harder through their influence for the righteous to maintain their dedication to Hashem. If the righteous are able to withstand this influence, they will not only inherit their own portion, but the portion of those whose influence they withstood. Ki ani Hashem ohev mishpat, for I, Hashem, love justice, so I will give them their just reward, like we saw in the last verse. Sone gazal ba'ola, I hate robbery in a burnt offering. Using that which is not yours for a mitzvah does not elevate it. It disqualifies the mitzvah, the commandment. Rationalizing that you are using it to serve God, to whom it belongs anyway, is wrong, and perhaps even makes it worse. V'nasati pu'ulasam be'emes, I will pay them their wages faithfully, in proportion to their deeds and their challenges, also like we saw in the last verse, uvris olam echros lahem, and make a covenant with them for all time. We will not have another exile like after past redemptions. V'noda bagoyim zaram, their offspring shall be known amongst the nations, v'tze'etzaihim besoch ha'amim, and their descendants in the midst of peoples. Kol ro'ayam yakirum, all who see them will recognize them. Heim zera b'rach Hashem, because they are the seed that Hashem has blessed. This recognition will be because of their deeds. And then from the perspective of the Jewish people, sos asis b'Hashem, I will rejoice in Hashem. Tagel nafshi b'elokai, my soul will exult in my God. Ki hil bishani bigde yesha, for he dressed me in clothes of salvation. Mi'il tzedakah ya'atani, he cloaked me in a robe of righteousness. Kechasan yechahein pe'er, like a groom exalted in splendor. V'chakala ta'adeh cheleha, like a bride bedecked with finery. This verse is a classic verse of Yeshayahu's poetic language. When read simply, it conveys a straightforward idea with beautiful language. The Jewish people will rejoice in Hashem and will be bedecked in finery and greatness. But if we look deeper and decipher each word, we will see each word is different and exposes new and deeper meaning. At the beginning of this verse, there are two words for happiness, sason, which connotes external joy, and gila, which connotes internal joy. There are also two names of Hashem, the four-letter name that we do not pronounce that connotes the attributes of mercy, and the name Elokai, my God, which is personal and uses the name that connotes justice. Finally, there are two words for the one who is happy, a general I and a more specific my soul. So I will externally rejoice in the God of mercy, and my soul will internally rejoice in my God of judgment. Radak points out that I, the whole me, is the one who rejoices in the God of mercy, because the whole human being appreciates mercy. But only my soul rejoices in God's justice, because only the elevated aspect of a person appreciates and craves justice. Malvin points out another distinction. There is no specific subject used in the first clause, which describes rejoicing with an outer joy in Hashem, the God of mercy. But there is a subject used in the second clause, nafshi, my soul, rejoices in Elokai, who is referred to not just as God, but as my God. Outer joy is experienced by someone who is connected to the God of the whole nation. Inner joy is experienced by someone who is connected to Elokai, my God, his own individual relationship with God who oversees and provides for him. Ki ha'aretz totzi tzimcha, for as earth brings forth her growth, uchegana zeru eha tasatzmiach, and a garden sprouts forth its seedlings, kein Hashem Elokim yatzmiach tzaka usihila neged kol hagoyim, so Hashem will cause righteousness and praise to sprout before all the nations. This recalls an illustration given by sages and commentaries in many different places. When a seed is planted, it rots, and someone unfamiliar with the process would assume that it was destroyed. Only after it rots can it begin to grow and emerge as a beautiful plant. God planted us in exile. We were left there, and anyone looking from the outside would have seen rot and destruction and decay. But like the plant, this was only in order that we could begin to grow and would finally emerge as a great nation. Thank you for learning together. Le'ilui Nishmas Malka Esther Bas Tzvi Yosef.